Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Every show we teed up with our pals from Talk Radio News. Justin Duckham joins us now. Justin, you know, we said this just the other day. You and I have talked a lot this week about it's I don't know what it is. It's, you know, we're getting toward that Memorial Day weekend, and eventually they get a break in Congress. So there are a lot of different things that are happening now. And the one thing that we talked about was the trade agenda, and I think the White House is still pretty much stinging from what happened there. They're surprised. I mean, obviously they'll move on, but the Senate voting against moving to fast-track that trade legislation, I guess they're not going to give up at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, right?
They are not. This has been one of the White House's signature final things on Obama's agenda for the remainder of his term, and they have really been pushing this heavily. We've had Obama going out across the U.S., to make the case for their trade agreement. Following the vote yesterday, he sent a letter out to his supporters urging them to signal that they are, in fact, in favor of this free trade agreement. But nevertheless, we have progressives within the party, as well as a lot of moderate Democrats who are raising eyebrows about this and seem determined to put the president out on this one. So yesterday, of course, we saw Democrats balk at a number of them who were pro-trade Democrats who had initially said that they were going to be supporting it, ultimately said that they would not do so until there were a number of other pieces of legislative items passed along with this. This includes a number of workers' rights, bills to ensure that people are protected as this moves forward, as well as currency manipulation, which the White House has signaled would be sort of a poison pill. So yesterday, following the initial vote, we had the White House meeting with some Senate Democrats, and we eventually had some kind of compromise on this, primarily that it looks like Republicans may be willing to move forward on a number of these items as a legislative package when it comes to workers' rights, but will vote separately on the currency manipulation bill, the bill that's being viewed as a poison pill.
Yeah. All right. Obviously, you're keeping your eye on that. We're keeping our eye on that. We'll see, because I think this drags out a little bit. How about this? You know, for a long time, there's always been that tug of war over the military bases and when you have to save money. And the argument is closing the bases and moving operations in a different direction. And, of course, the White House is threatening to take some kind of alternative options to close military bases if Congress continues through this whole defensive bill thing to block the Pentagon from conducting another round of closure. So basically, in a nutshell, it's part of that veto threat thing, right, against the Republicans and this defense policy bill that the House plans to vote on this week. That's huge. It's like a 600-page bill, I think.
It is. There's a lot of controversy going around with this, particularly when it comes to base closures or shutting down big programs.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see a lot of congressional opposition because a lot of times these are bases that are in lawmakers' backyard. They want to preserve the economic benefit of it. They want to preserve jobs there. And these are oftentimes huge sort of economic issues. One of the other big issues that's really getting a lot of controversy right now is how the defense bill is dealing with people who are benefiting from the president's executive action on immigration reform. There was a provision that was initially added into the bill that would allow those who are essentially dreamers, those who are benefiting from deferred deportation, to join the military to help the U.S., and now we have an effort from Republicans to strike that out. That's largely being viewed as sort of a slap against the president's executive orders on immigration, Democrats are trying to remind the Republicans, look, this would just be sort of a symbolic sort of move on your part, since allowing those who are eligible for deportation in the military doesn't really have anything to do with the executive action itself. By denying that, you're not really going to solve the executive action, and instead you're just sort of creating a situation where those who want to fight for the U.S. are just essentially being denied that chance. So that's one of the big fights that are also going on with this defense bill, and it's going to be getting pretty heated on Capitol Hill as we get closer to the Memorial Day recess.
Oh, yeah. And then we have this, because it wouldn't be a night on America tonight if we weren't talking about what's going to happen in 2016 and who's running, especially on the Republican side. And we've also talked about Jeb Bush. I was reading something today that there's this group called For America. It's a conservative group, and they're pushing a web campaign that just started in some of the early voting states that have an ad that ties Jeb Bush to Hillary Clinton and blasts the Florida governor, the former governor, as unelectable. And pretty much some of the text from the ad, I saw this as almost all Republicans understand Hillary Clinton would make a terrible president. Wow. So do you think we're going to maybe see more of this? Because there's some pushback to Bush being the establishment guy and being able to raise all the money and pushing out the other guys that Tea Party people and so many others in the Republican Party are in favor of over Bush.
Well, that's going to be the issue that we have. Right now, Bush essentially has sort of an excitement deficit. That's something that we saw last time around with Mitt Romney. There was sort of a desperate sense that Republicans would like almost anybody else. In that sense, that's why we saw a lot of candidates who really didn't have much of a chance of winning the White House having their own little 15 minutes of fame. We saw police attention being showered on Rick Santorum temporarily, Herman Cain. The entire gamut essentially had their little moment in the sun as the Romney alternative. The Republican Party has actually worked really hard to try to back away from what happened last time around. They've attempted to essentially shorten the campaign season. They've moved up the date of the convention in order to try to stop this from being a major issue. But nevertheless, there's sort of this underlying fact that not a lot of Republicans are necessarily excited by Jeb Bush. He's viewed by a lot of them as just sort of an empty suit, somebody who doesn't really speak to a lot of conservative ideals. But it also raises an issue that there really isn't anybody in the wings who can necessarily be the sort of candidate who could raise a lot of money, who could really reach a lot of independents and not alienate a lot of people who aren't, dying rural conservatives. And that person hasn't really come around yet. But it certainly speaks to the fact that, I personally spend a lot of time among, lawmakers and Republicans here in D.C., and I frankly haven't really met anybody who's excited about Jeb Bush who isn't one of his major donors. And that's an issue that Bush is going to face as this develops.
Yeah, I like your comparison to Mitt Romney because we saw the same thing happen with him. And, the other side of that coin is, and this is something that came up with Carly Fiorina. She got a little upset about it, but a Katie Couric question, that knowing that she's hardly polling at all, and is it that she's just playing around out there so she can be a VP candidate? But really, when you have this amount of Republicans, that starts to formulate, right? That is who potentially is the VP on whatever card.
Yeah, there certainly is an effort from some people to essentially campaign just for the vice presidential position. That's just sort of the way that politics works. I think Fiorina probably has that in mind at the end of the day, or if not that, perhaps a cabinet position. And, frankly, that's something that happens beyond the Republican Party. We know this time around Governor Martin O'Malley is, certainly in the race, even though he does not really poll very well and isn't really having, any impact against Clinton. But a lot of insiders are saying that he essentially has his heart on a VP spot or a plum cabinet position where he could get his ideas out there. So it doesn't really, look like a lot of these people are really going to be taking it seriously. But there are a lot of other huge benefits for running for president than actually, winning the White House.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Justin Duckham, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610. Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Little British listen, little British raga, salute to the hobo raga, and it's for raga for a decent bloke who enjoys a pint and a burger and a joke, who looks at when he's down the pub, walking down some top of the pub, a raga for a decent bloke's missus and for his cheeky nippers, raga for an alright bloke who's always cheery, bright and chipper, raga for a doggy installer.
All right, we talk about this all the time on America Tonight. It's fuzzy math, or it just doesn't make sense when we talk about government spending and how we're spending our way into oblivion. Some of you get that, but why do our leaders keep doing the same thing? It's about getting reelected. At least that's the road that they seem to take, and wouldn't make a difference if they went in a different direction, like we saw with the Prime Minister, David Cameron, what he recently did in those elections in the UK that surprised a few people. But if you look a little deeper than that, it completely makes sense what's happening there. And Ivan Elin, of course, picked up on this, the senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And he's just written something that came up in one of his pieces for the Huffington Post. And it's what Americans should learn from the British election. And I hope a lot of you read it and take heart to what he's saying, because it really pulls this all into perspective as to what's going on in the United States. Ivan, as always, thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me on, Kate.
So I kind of brushed the surface with broad strokes, but what was it that David Cameron did so well that led to his conservatives winning an outright majority of seats in Parliament and really rocking the other side, really rocking what happened in these recent elections, not expecting that finish?
Well, no one really expected it, because the polls were, the Labor and conservatives were even, and in their system, even if Labor got less votes, they could form a coalition with the Scottish National Party, which did very well. But of course, the conservatives did much better than anybody thought, and they got an outright majority in the Parliament. They had to have a coalition before. And what really happened here is the British people should be applauded. Cameron came in and he did what I would say a moderate austerity program. And you say, well, it's only moderate. Well, we can't get that in the United States, really, except through sequestration, which we had a little bit of, but those budget cuts have been since attenuated. So he did this for several years, and not only did the British people resoundingly elect him, he's in a better position than he was when he first took office. So that's really astounding that austerity, in Greece and Spain and some of these other countries like Italy, that in the southern part of Europe, austerity leads to riots and everything else. But in Britain, austerity led to re-election by a resounding margin. And I think Cameron has pledged to double down on this. And not only has his austerity, done the traditional types of cutting social programs and that sort of thing, but he's also cut defense. And I think that's really what needs to happen. I was probably the only person in Washington, D.C. that was in favor of sequestration, which was across the board cuts. Unfortunately, it didn't include the entitlements, but at least it was cutting something across the board. And I think that's really the only way you can get support in Washington for budget cuts. You just say, well, we have an $18 trillion debt. We have even more, unfunded things in the future worth trillions of dollars. We're in much worse fiscal shape than anybody realizes. In fact, we're near Greek levels and that sort of thing. The difference is we have the world's reserve currency. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if we keep acting responsibly in the future, China may have the reserve currency instead of us. And then, of course, we're in real big trouble. But I think we're in trouble anyway because we have a lot of people who are retiring and we have fewer workers. That's Social Security and Medicare and, the other big entitlement programs are just out of control. And the politicians, unfortunately, our system, there's just no incentive to pare it back because that's the way politicians get elected. And unfortunately, the American population, I think, allows that. They talk small government rhetorically, but when it gets down to how they vote, I'm afraid Americans are for far too big a government.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everybody talks about small government and states' rights and whatnot, or I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot, and especially we see that here with the listeners, but how are they voting? Are they really paying attention to it? And you point out the examples of other presidents, though, U.S. presidents, who have gone in that other direction. You go back to Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge, and you mentioned Dwight Eisenhower, and of course, Bill Clinton. And wouldn't it be a bold step for a politician to step out, give that example, and then explain, as you've explained, listen, you're not realizing this, but bubbling up on the surface, here's what we have going on, and if we don't do something now, we're in serious danger of a couple of things happening economically that, trust me, will rock your world.
Yeah, and I think it's not all pain. I mean, what you're doing is you're having short-term austerity for longer-term and sustained economic growth. And I think that's why our growth has been so anemic after the recession was because Bush and Obama both turned on either the spending spigots or the money supply spigots. And that's sort of artificial prosperity. It's sort of when you eat a bunch of cotton candy, it's not really nutritious, it's just a sugar high. And I think that's kind of what we've been on a little bit here. Now, of course, it's slowing down. The recovery seems to be slowing down. It was never very strong. Now, what Warren Harding and Calvin Coolidge did, what Dwight Eisenhower did, and what Bill Clinton did was they cut the budget. And that led to, in every case, it led to a decade of prosperity. And I think you can do austerity and have prosperity. And I think Cameron has also proved it, and so have the Germans. The two best economies, I think, two of the best, at least in Europe, are Germany and Britain now because they did undertake those austerity programs. And the British one is probably going to even accelerate now that Cameron has got sort of a mandate from the British people to continue with it. His was moderate before. And, of course, the Germans have always been, after the 1920s and 30s, they've been very cognizant of inflation, so they've always been very frugal in their financial affairs.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned too about the Chinese, and you talk about it as well in your piece, and you say that you look at China and this threat and the fact that we're not really learning from what the Chinese have done since they've embraced capitalism and generally how they've cut back on defense or how they did it was way at the bottom of the list. Of course, what we kept seeing just a few years ago was, wow, they're this massive amount of an army that they're building up, and pretty soon they're going to be a bigger superpower than we are. I remember I kept seeing headlines like that, not too long ago. But you say that what's happened is really they've had this rapid economic growth, and they've been just slowly increasing their defense budget, right?
Yeah, for a long time, they really didn't do too much on it. It was a fourth of their four economic priorities. And, of course, the top three were, you know, economic development. And yet they said the economy first. And I think the basis of power, of military power, cultural power, social power, you know, et cetera, in the world is based on economic power. And the Chinese realized that, of course, and they realized that they had to keep their defense spending in, under control until they got their economy, they grew their economy. Now that their economy is, you know, second only to the U.S. and the world, they are increasing their defense and have been for the last few years. But, you know, the U.S. still spends, much more than the Chinese do, and we have commitments all over the world. I would say we're sort of in the overextended empire, and I think national greatness conservatives ought to realize that perhaps we need to retract our defense perimeter and, you know, rejuvenate our economy and refresh our presence in the world with a healthy economy, because that's, as I say, is the basis of all national power. And I think we're really overextended. We have far too many commitments, and we have a huge defense budget, but it's not even big enough to fulfill all the commitments, because the commitments are way out of control, and the defense budget's also out of control. And I think, you know, we spend what the next 13 countries do combined on defense. So how can China be a threat to us in any way simply because they're mainly a regional, they want more influence in their region. And so I think we need to put these things in perspective. We allow the defense bureaucracies and defense industries to tell us that these threats are bigger than they are.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Ivan Elin, check out his stuff. Good stuff. Senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. And you can always look up a lot of what Ivan talks about on the Huffington Post. Ivan, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach, who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Can I put in something like, this is American music, take one. One, two, three, four. Do you like American music? I like American music. Don't you like American music, baby?
American music. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. America Tonight, of course, as we continue to rock through this hour. Sadly, I have to tell you, because I've got so many family and friends that live in the Philadelphia area, as you all know, they've sent me some of the pictures that they've seen, other things that they may be out there nationally, but things that, you know, because, of course, they had massive coverage there. Oh, my gosh, this train accident that we talked about last night, so sad. It was the train was going 106 miles an hour into a 50-mile-an-hour curve. You are not surviving that. I mean, you know, it was the people that did survive. I mean, you've got some in the hospital that are critical. It's crazy. And, you know, this was a deadly Amtrak derailment in Philly. They were going from Washington to New York City, and they're looking at everything. Was it human performance, human error? Was it track conditions? What was it that led to that speed up? What caused that to happen? I mean, there wasn't any safety. And you see that train, and oh man, I am telling you, I think I described it this way last night, but after seeing even more pictures of it, it is just a sad, sad sight. It is as though I reached into the pantry, grabbed some aluminum foil, crinkled it up, crunched it up, and threw it on the floor in different pieces. I mean, seriously, that's what that train looks like. I don't know how anybody got out of that first car, but they did. Some people survived it. Others not quite as lucky. Just, you know, absolutely sad to see that. We're going to have some people on next week to talk about what's happening in the industry and what about safety. And, you know, that's one of the things that I said is, and in this case, I don't know that it would have helped that much, except for that when the train turned over, you had people that were just thrown upside down. If there were some kind of belts, would that have made a difference? And I've taken that train many times, just giant seats, and you're pretty close. If it's a lot of people on the train, you're pretty close to each other as they turn the seats inward. And there's nothing, you could grab onto something, but you've got a lot of metal and hard things around you, so it'd be pretty tough if that was rolling over and over again, and you can tell, obviously, that's what happened. The other thing is, since we're sticking with the dire, sad stuff happening in the world close to home and off our shores, Nepal. Unbelievable that they got rocked with another earthquake, within the 2 weeks. Dozens of people have been killed. The remote areas, they don't even know. They're trying to get there and find out about these mountain villages because they're pretty much cut off. Then they're worried about the monsoon season in Nepal. You have the aftershocks. I mean, it is scary what's happened to Nepal. Because you had the first earthquake, awful enough, where you had 8,000 people dead and villages just flattened. And that was April 25th, and that was 7.8. Then you get hit by another one, 17-plus dead, India, China, parts that are, you know, connected. And I think there's still a lot that they don't know about this last one, except for that it was 7.3. So it was pretty bad. I mean, not the 7.8, see, just a little tiny difference there, but enough that it brought down some houses that you had buildings that definitely shook. You had some journalists on the ground that were doing stories about the first earthquake. You had a search for a missing U.S. helicopter saying that the helicopter was trying to reach some of the rural areas, and they were concerned about that. And, you know, just awful. Just a complete catastrophic mess. In Kathmandu, temples, apartments. They were already trashed in April, now worse. The new quake, more damage to structures. And, of course, the people are so freaked out about that, they're just literally ran into the streets, you know, screaming. So close together. And it's like I described the Amtrak wreck. Well, you know, you look at what happened in Nepal, and it's as if you just had bricks all over the place. Just bricks, and then you've got shards of glass and lumber thrown out all over the place and half buildings and, you know, like I said, even gotten a lot worse because you have one earthquake on top of another earthquake. But there are always powerful stories that emerge from human survival of people helping other people or rescuing people. And there was a great story that happened a week after the Nepal quake. I was reading more details on it today. A 101-year-old man was rescued from under his home on Saturday, 1 week after the quake, you know, slapped into Nepal. So he's in stable condition. They don't know how he survived. They're not even sure. Still, even at this point, they're hoping his injuries are, you know, he's going to heal. But that death toll was so incredibly high, and how buildings just fell right on the heads of everybody. It's incredible. The guy's name was Fengchu Tamrang, and he survived it. He survived it somehow. I mean, this incalculable human loss and the suffering and the millions of people just homeless trying to figure out what to do. And this guy somehow underneath, buried. Because, you know, the chances of finding someone a week later, especially, so extremely thin, needless to say. But the key thing is that that he did make it, and that was that story that you could say, oh, thank goodness, there. I know there are other stories of courage or rescue or survival, but there's one of them, and at that age, too, to survive that, pretty wild, no doubt. Here's a follow-up that I wanted to put in mix right from the get-go in this hour. You know, we now have turned the Secret Service into a punchline in this country, and you wonder how safe the president is by who's guarding him, in all seriousness, by some of the... They've had to change the fence around the White House, and they're working on that. Well, how this story goes is a longtime Secret Service agent who was part of what happened in March, who was one of two guys driving in a car after heavily drinking and leaving the Secret Service, you know, leaving the party and then coming back to the White House. Just terrible what happened, because they had an incident. They thought someone had thrown a bomb, and so then he was running back with somebody else in a car driving back, and they smashed into a barricade and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, that Secret Service agent decided, well, yeah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to resign. And Mark Conley, the second ranking agent, so that's pretty high, on the president's detail, is retiring, right? And of course, they were smart to do this. They were probably getting word as to what was happening, because this is right in front of the release of the Inspector General's report that will say that the report's findings will be shocking. It'll be unacceptable, their lack of judgment and, you know, what they did. So they're jumping out on it. And first Conley is, you know, decided he's retiring. And then you had the other agent who decided, yeah, I've got to do this too. And you have the Secret Service Director, Joe Clancy, who, remember, tried to explain it to the House and took a big hit. And these reports, he says what's come up in the reports are unacceptable. It was just a couple of months ago where he's peddling around trying to fumble and figure out a way to explain that late-night brouhaha that happened at the command post when they were looking into the possible bomb going through the barricade that I just explained. So, and the director didn't even know until 5 days later. I mean, there's one of the big problems. The guy at the top needs to know when somebody does something like run through a barricade after having a few drinks at the White House responding to a bomb threat, and to not know. So whoever is the person in charge, they have to be the linchpin. They have to be the glue. And they said there was no evidence of a surveillance video, or maybe it had been, you know, there was no evidence that the surveillance video actually been destroyed, because the footage of what happened wasn't there. It had been deleted. And they said it's standard practice to delete footage after 72 hours, which saved them in a sense, because the director didn't even know for 5 days. Didn't even know. You can bet that as buttoned up as they can possibly be, the Secret Service will try and do that, because Clancy cannot afford to have anything else that comes out where, I mean, it's one thing to have some kind of an incident, but anything where he's not informed, somebody gets through the door of the White House, somebody's on the elevator with the president, he's got a gun, somebody's whatever. Somebody's smashed through a barricade after being at a party responding to a bomb threat. Or they're the detail that went ahead and they're picking up prostitutes. I mean, they're, you know, pick your poison. Nobody can drink this from this well in the near future, or Clancy is out. And that would be the second head of the Secret Service to go within, you know, 8 months if that happens.
Track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Attention, do you owe money to the IRS or have years of unfiled returns? Are you being audited or receiving threatening letters? If the answer is yes, you need help. The IRS can seize your property and assets, impose fines and penalties, garnish your wages, and even go after your bank account. Don't take on the IRS by yourself. Don't let the IRS destroy your life. Take action now. Call our team of experts for a free and confidential initial evaluation. We've helped thousands resolve their tax problems. Let us help you. 800-261-7073. 800-261-7073.
Extend your life with ExtendoBite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking ExtendoBite. It's been approved to help my heart.
ExtendoBite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. ExtendoBite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about ExtendoBite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking ExtendoBite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Extend. You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning,
my talk about a kick in the head. So many of you have filled the coffers of our very, very big mailbox and added to, I think, a lot of the funny things with dumb things I shouldn't have done. And let me tell you, this segment's really catching on. Somebody asked me to be a guest on the radio show, and they said, you do that dumb things. Like they thought it was 3 hours of dumb things. And I suppose if you put in the politics that we talk about and everything else, it probably is 3 hours of dumb things mixed up. Anyway, here's the latest version of dumb things I shouldn't have done.
Dum, 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 dum. I warned you, but did you listen to me? Oh, no, you knew it all, didn't you? Oh, it's just a harmless little funny, isn't it? Well, it's always the same. I always tell them, do they listen to me?
Right.
Oh, no.
Shut up!
Yes, dum 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 dum, and oh, so many. This one from Lisbeth. Lisbeth says, Kate, my husband told me about your dumb things. He said I had a lot that I could contribute. I don't know if I should put him in the doghouse for saying that or not. But this might be one of the dumber things that I did. I am famous for my spaghetti and meatballs. So I made my spaghetti and meatballs, and my husband likes the spaghetti meatballs with some of the red pepper flakes on it. You know, mixed in with Parmesan cheese. I always sprinkle it on, and then he eats it that way, comes to the table. I know, he's spoiled. So I put the food out for him, and I had the flakes all mixed into the spaghetti. Sounds good, doesn't it? Except for it turns out I put chili powder instead all over his spaghetti. He was not happy. His face turned kind of bright red when he took the first giant bite that he was shoving in his mouth. So he thought that was one of the dumber things I've done. Once we make up, I will send you some other things that I think fit into your dumb things segment. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. I love that. Yeah. Hey, you've done a lot of dumb things. You need to go and send them to her radio show. Yeah, I don't know. That might be the dumb thing, the husband saying that. But I can see that. It's, you know what it's like? I've got a dumb thing, and I don't know if and this has happened to any of you, but it might have. Where I was out at a restaurant, and I want to say I was with my my mother at the time. So this was a couple of years ago because my mom passed away 2 years ago. So it might have been 3 years ago. And we were at some hamburger place. She didn't eat fast food very often. It wasn't a fast food place. I think it was like a Johnny Rockets or something. And the salt and pepper was on the table, and we were going to put a little salt and pepper. So somebody did not put the lid on tight. Maybe they were playing a trick, or it wasn't on tight. I don't know. But the salt just went all over. I mean, it was like a salt hill, let me tell you. And I'm not a huge salt person, so it was just a tiny bit. It was saturated. It was like a burger with a mountain of salt on the top. Has that ever happened to any of you? Sometimes that happens with, of course, other things, sugar. So, in fact, this leads into our next one. This one is from Bob in Illinois, who says, Kate, I've emailed you about my frustrations with the political beings that we have in office right now, but this is a different animal altogether. I have to tell you about something that happened that was pretty tragic, actually. I was at a wedding, and the wedding food, it was an outdoor wedding. It was pretty, it was elegant, I suppose, because they had those white tablecloths and everything. But the food was supposed to be kind of picnic-y food. So they had ketchup and mustard and kind of these fancy hot dogs and some other things. They just jazz them up. I guess it's the best way for me to describe it. I'm not a great foodie, so I'm not good at that. But when I sat down, I had a ketchup bottle, and it's one you just squirt out, so it should have been seemingly easy. I had the nozzle pointed at my wife's dress, and I had the hot dog in my hand. I didn't realize it was really pointed toward the hot dog, but I squeezed and it went flying and unfortunately right down the front of her dress. Yeah, that's a rough one. And I don't know what, there's nothing you can do about that. You've got a ketchup stain for that, I guess not ceremony, it probably was after from what it sounds like it was a reception. So for the rest of that reception, you've got ketchup stained dress. I don't know how you can get that out. Afterwards, taken to the dry cleaners or whatever, but when you're actually at the party, I don't think there's too much. Now, if it was like red wine and you threw, the salt example I said where the salt fell all over, if you purposely threw tons of salt on a wine spot, that would pull a lot of that up, but I don't think it does the same thing for ketchup. But I'm still picturing in my head, I know exactly what he's talking about. He's not talking about shaking the bottle. He's talking about they have the little squeeze bottles to make it easier. And I'm sure that's why they had them. It was probably how the layout was. And sure, if you squeeze too much, a lot of it's going to come out. But if you just were to stand or sit and squeeze and not look where the nozzle was or think it was pointed down, yeah, that's going to land wherever you, however hard you squeeze it and wherever you squeeze it. Oh, that would be so, oh, that'd be upsetting. It would be the dress wear. It just would. Oh, you just have to stain and how, you know, what are you going to do? I guess you just have to live with it. It's only a stain. Just dance or do whatever you have to do and then go home and take care of it. He may be in the doghouse too for that. I'm not sure. There was no after. Here's what happened afterwards. Okay, how about this one? This is from Keith, who says, Kate, I don't know, where do I begin? I have so many dumb things, as does everybody. And somebody might have called about this one before, but usually if I go and get my car washed, I go to the place where the car goes through itself, and it costs me a ridiculous amount of money, $25 or $20 or whatever they try to get me to buy everything under the planet on the car window. But I didn't have time, and I needed the car to be clean. I was picking up my son for something. So I just went to the gas station, and they have the kind of car wash. It's a Shell station where you pull in, and you stop the car, and then the car gets washed, you know, right there while you're sitting in the car. And I didn't realize I had left the two back windows open pretty far. So the soap and all that stuff was coming in before I even realized it. And I did eventually get them, of course, closed, but already most of that water was hitting it so fast, it came in and so did all the soap. So it was just a really big hassle to go and towel it all dry, leave the windows open. It was sort of a overcast day. And so I could say it was a little bit of a disaster, and it certainly was a dumb thing. They even tell you to put down your antenna and roll up the windows, and I thought they were, because I have, like everybody else, electric windows, but it wasn't, and once I realized it had already happened. I think one time somebody else told us a story like that where they went through the other kind, the older kind, where you just went in and stopped the car and they did the same thing. That'd be easy to forget. I think what's even easier to forget, and I don't even know if I'd call it a dumb thing, although they do warn you about it, is the antenna thing. When you have an antenna and you don't put the antenna down, that can be pretty disastrous. All right, the dumb things. Very, very good. Very entertaining. If you want to share your dumb things, you can. Send them to us. AmericaTonight.net.
Constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.